Welcome to Baby Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, sex, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Reefa Gray from Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy Dad, Jim Zuli.
Good morning, Reefa.
Good morning, Jim. How are you this fine Monday morning?
The Monday mornings sure come around fast, don't they?
Absolutely. Time flies.
Seems like we hang up the phone and we're back on the phone. Well, I didn't get a chance to see you last night, but I talked to you on the phone and I gave you a little rundown of where I was at. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't that aware how big the Nicholas Brothers were in the dance world. Amazing.
Oh,
I mean, I
absolutely.
Saw some of their...
Wow, I saw some of their... tribute to the Nicholas Brothers, right?
The Nicholas Brothers tribute, it was just... Boy, I learned a lot. You know, they had superstars that they not only worked with, but they had them as backup dancers. Like for instance, Lucille Ball. You know how big a star she was. And yet Lucille Ball was a backup dancer for the Nicholas Brothers. And the list goes on and on. Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, you know, all the famous dancers back then, and then Louis Armstrong, all these people they work with. It's what a past, you know. It was pretty interesting event, I have to admit.
Absolutely.
And Reefa,
well,
they were
really big.
They were really big, yeah. And I'm going to go into this on my subject, but I think we're glad we're living out in California after watching some of the news, you know.
Oh,
wow. They got
absolutely.
A lot of snow going on. Yeah. And
but why don't we just go ahead and start with our hot topics?
That sounds good.
Oh. Well, I guess we won't have our intro to our hot topics. We'll just
hot topic time. There we go.
I'll start with vapor cigarettes. People were trying to say that vapor cigarettes were perfectly safe, but now new data is coming out, and they're saying vape cigarettes are not perfectly safe. There are some issues with them, and they don't even know what they are. And I've got several friends that think that, oh, I'm okay now. I'm just smoking these vape cigarettes most of the time, and I only have a real cigarette every now and then. Also, they claimed that vape cigarettes were supposed to be a gateway to weaning off of cigarettes. But really, all of my close friends that still smoke vape cigarettes still smoke cigarettes also. And they're sneaky. Oh, there we go.
Ripped from the headlines. Today's hot topic.
And they're
okay,
sneaky.
Okay, Rita, what's your hot topic?
They're sneaking to smoke vape cigarettes. So now not only are they smoking, they're acting like addicts more so because they're sneaking to have the real thing. So I'm really grateful. I stopped smoking in 1983, I think it was.
Good for you.
And, you know, with cigarettes at $5 a pack some places, I can't even imagine. And even these vape cigarettes are not cheap either. So, you know, what can I say?
That's true. And you know what, Reefa, you're right, because I'm thinking, wait a minute. I see somebody and a lot of the people we know and that, and they're trying to kick the habit, and they'll have a vapor cigarette. I'm thinking, well, good for them. I don't know all the statistics about vapor. And then they're turning around going outside smoking a cigarette. So I'm thinking, well, is this part of it, or is this part of the program, or what's the deal?
I don't think it's working, but what's your hot topic, Jim?
Well, I was just going to touch on if anybody plans on leaving, they really have to check where they're going, especially if it's on the East Coast in some of these areas, because the weather people are saying that this storm that's going on is listed in the top three most powerful storms in history along Connecticut and areas up there in New York. And what's coming up tonight is going to be just a record-breaking situation with winds and snow, 3 and 4 feet of snow. And they're going to do their best to clean everything. But you have to remember that, you know, a lot of people are waiting at the airport and hoping that their flights aren't canceled, because this snow in New York is affecting Los Angeles. And you're going, well, how would that happen? Well, a lot of the business that people do in California, they do business with the people on the East Coast, and they plan on flying out there. Well, they're anxious to get the flight, but on the other hand, you know, they could be looking up their flights canceled or disappointed. But if their flight is not canceled and they make it, then what? You could wind up being stuck at the airport, because it gets so bad sometimes, not only the cold, but the snow and everything, that you could literally be snowed in at the airport. If you're not snowed at the airport and you make it to your destination, then you make it to your hotel. Just getting around town, getting a cab or anything, is really tricky. Unless you've experienced this, it's a real situation. And if you get your car rental or a cab or whatever, you know, you really have to make sure you can get around back there. Wear your boots, if nothing else. Wear some warm clothes, because this is supposed to really be something.
Yeah, and that's what I hear. And I don't understand, unless it was business, why anyone from California or the West Coast in their right mind would go to the East Coast. But, you know, they say it's going to affect the Northwest also. So Washington and I guess Oregon and that area, they're going to get some of that cold blast too. So
it's a record breaker. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it is. Well, that brings us to our first commercial.
There we go.
Innovation, philanthropy, consciousness, and commerce collide with Hollywood at the 2015 Ascent Expo at the Los Angeles Convention Center on February 27th through March 1st. Get your company, product, idea, or cause exposed at this historic event, featuring beauty, fashion, art, and music on an enormous center stage with 50 electrifying performances, tens of thousands of people, and a star-studded red carpet. Experience an overwhelming flow of potential customers, clients, business partners, collaborators, and investors. Prime exhibitor space and sponsorships are selling fast. Visit AscentExpo.com. That's AscentExpo.com.
All right.
The Ascent Expo, that sounds like that's going to be so exciting. I understand Sam Saprong is going to be there performing.
Sam's going to be there. Yeah, it's going to, Aretha, it's blowing up. It's just going to be quite an event. There's going to be celebrities. There's going to be entertainment. You have all your business. The booths will be full of very interesting situations where people can, you know, meet and greet and trade their secrets and business and so on. But there, I think there's even going to be an Easy Way Street.
There is. There's going to be an Easy Way section. Easy Way is going to have their whole own zone. And I know that's going to be an exciting thing going on. So
that's a big place. You've been there. You know.
Yeah, right there at the convention center. Look forward to seeing everybody coming out there.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Speaking about exciting, we have an exciting guest this morning.
We
Her
do.
Hello.
Her name is Suze Lanier Bramlett. She's an actress. She's a musician. She's a producer. She does it all. What can I say?
There she is, and we got her on the line.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, Suze.
Glad I'm not in New York this morning.
All right. Well, thank you for coming down with us.
I used to live there. United's already canceled all their flights.
See?
In and out. Yeah.
See?
It's going to be funky.
You
yeah.
used to live in the East Coast,
in
huh?
Yeah, I went to NYU. So, I lived in the village. So it was, I remember some of those cold, cold times where I thought, it's so cold I'm going to die right here on the street.
Yeah. Aretha and I were talking about the shock when you leave California and it's 78 degrees and you land in Chicago or New York and you don't notice it when you get off the plane because, you know, you have the ramp and everything. But when that door opens going to the parking lot and it's like 3 above zero, boy, that takes a little getting used to.
It does. It does. Yeah, we're really lucky. I mean, I guess that's what we're paying for.
Absolutely. Well, Suze, you have had a really exciting life. I was looking over your stuff, and I guess I knew, but I actually saw your film clip on IMDb you were the original Chrissy Snow on Three's Company.
I was. I was. That was a long time ago.
You were so young and so cute.
And thin,
I saw
Rita.
The clip. you're still cute.
Thank you.
Back in the days.
Thank you so much.
Was it 77?
No, that was earlier. I think that was 75 or something.
75.
Maybe 76. Yeah, 76.
And you can see that clip on your IMDb page. And
yeah,
the
years go
all
fast,
the details, but for some reason, and sometimes in Hollywood it happens, things didn't work out. So
nope.
The majority of people know Suzanne Summers as Chrissy Snow, but you created that character.
I indeed did. And
you know what they say about the original.
Yeah.
And you just worked with some, not only John Ritter, but some of the biggest names in show business.
Thank you. Cool. I have. I've been very lucky. I've worked, you know, I'm most known for my role on Welcome Back, Kotter as Bambi. I was John Travolta's girlfriend.
Back. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I was a baby sweat hog, and and I was John Travolta's girlfriend on that. So I think more people know me for that than even the horror genre.
Yeah.
Now,
you
the
know,
horror genre, you were in The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah,
Hills,
I started
yeah.
in The Hills Have Eyes as Brenda, and I was the young girl who, you know, gets raped and then at the end kills people. And, you know, I live at the end. I'm one of the few of the family that live at the end.
That's a big switch. I mean, you're a Texas girl, and you know, the women they're raised as little girls to have the pink strollers and the dolls and the little pony cartoons and everything's so sweet. And all of a sudden, you're in the Hills movies, which kind of they're not that conservative when it comes to horror. Did you have any dreams, like any spooky dreams after filming some of that stuff?
No, I loved working in it because Wes Craven was allowed us. When he said action, we could just go with it. You know, I mean, we had the lines, of course, but we could play with it a little bit. It was just a lot of fun, and you know, but watching it after shooting it, that was a different story. With Don Peake's incredible music, Don Peake has produced and worked with everybody on the planet. So he got a really great composer to do that suspenseful horror music. If you just watch any horror film without the music, it's not quite as scary. And when they have that, you know, build up and everything with, you know, the moment and the music, then I sat there and I went, oh my God, this is really scary when I watched it. But when I was doing it, it was just kind of fun.
Yeah.
Now,
that's interesting.
A lot of our guests that come on the show are like you and me. We were in one business, got out of it, went into another business, and came back. What did you do in between that gap after The Hills Have Eyes and that era?
Well, what, you know, I loved scary movies when I was little. And so doing The Hills Have Eyes, I met my when The Hills Have Eyes was released, I also was hanging out with a lot of musicians in L.A., and I went to the Troubadour and to hear Delaney Bramlett sing with his band, and he had seen The Hills Have Eyes at a drive-in with his then-girlfriend the night before I came to hear him sing. And he came down off the stage, and he went, oh, my God, I saw your movie last night. I'm going to marry you. And I went, you're crazy. And he goes, yep, give me your phone number. And we got together. And once we did, his world seemed to be more exciting than mine with the music. And we fell in love. And we started making music. I had done some music in New York. And we started writing songs together. After, you know, we got together immediately as a couple. And then we started writing music together, and I segued into more music. But my cousin the other day sent me a picture of me running around the yard with a camera in my hands when I was just a little kid. And I've always loved photography. My father loved photography. So, too, I just started off just shooting some of my actor friends' headshots for fun. I got a camera for Christmas one year and started making money at photography. And I love shooting. So I found it, I love to be in control of deciding whether I'm going to work or not that day. And in acting, you're dependent on everybody else saying, yes, you can get this job. Casting directors, your agent, you know, the producers, the director, the network. But when you work as a creative artist by yourself, like as a photographer or you're a songwriter, you can just go in the next room and work. So that's what I did in between.
That makes sense.
I always say that with musicians, you can perform whenever you want. If you want to just go out on the beach or on a street corner, and
that's
you
right.
can set up shop and you can start performing. If you start doing that as an actor, they call the men in the little white jackets to put
Man,
you in
you got that right.
Yeah.
That is so right. And I was born, I have a brother and a sister, and they both do other things. My sister's married and she's a housewife, and my brother is creative in terms of building things. But I guess I was just created with this, I mean, I was born with this creative impulse and passion for things. And if I'm not working or writing something or acting in something, I'm pretty miserable. So it's the passion of the art form and the creative process that moves me forward.
Hmm. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I have to have that drive. And there's always an interest. But, you know, you have a point. It is nice having something that's more consistent because the bills come in consistently. You know,
yeah.
They don't wait. And while we're not working, they don't hold off. They just come in on a consistent basis. So when you have that backup, I think that's really important. And Breeth and I talk about that with our baby boomer scenarios. And, you know, income and retirement and how money goes fast, and you can't count on certain things, you know. So you got to be prepared, and that's good thinking with that backup. So you have all that skill with photography. That must have possibly opened up some doors, too, when you do that.
Well, I certainly photographed a lot of celebrities that would call me rather than me call them, may I shoot you? No, I mean, I shot Penny Marshall, and I shot her book covers and things, and you know, she paid me to come to her house and set up lights and work with her makeup, and you know, I mean, she had her makeup person there, of course, and you know, I've shot, oh my gosh, so many celebrities, and also I did a lot of fashion, so you know, I think photography is better suited for somebody that I still shoot. From time to time, if somebody just calls me and says, do you want to shoot, you know, will you shoot me? If you pay me, yeah, I'll shoot you. But I'm not, I don't advertise it anymore. I don't hustle it because, you know, as a baby boomer, it's harder on the body to climb up the ladders and change the backdrops, and particularly if I'm not working with an assistant. So, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't pay to hire an assistant because I'm just shooting some simple shots. But I still am passionate about it. And I love doing the retouching, you know, so that it looks very natural, but still, you know. I mean, you can do so much with digital. When I started, it was film. Black and white film, and man, you had to know what you were doing. You know, you really had to be technically knowledgeable about photography. But
now you've gone back to acting also.
Oh man, yeah. When my husband passed in 2008, he said you need to, you know, but he was sick for a while, and he said if things don't work out, then you should go do what you love. And after he passed, I put a band together and did a show at the M Bar 3 months later. And then from that got offered a role in Oren Peli's Area 51 horror movie, kind of sci-fi movie. And then that led to more offers. So that, you know, auditions and offers. And I've gotten back in the game as a baby boomer.
Oh, okay.
I love
got
that term.
You've got something coming out in February.
Yes, a movie called Cut. It just won fourth best horror movie of 2014. And it's opening in Hollywood on February 13th at the Arena Theater, where they show a lot of independent films in Hollywood. And it's won some major film festivals. So I'm very excited about that. And I play Susan Lanier, horror film director, grown up. And Dee Wallace's real-life daughter, Gabrielle Stone, plays my ingenue that I bring into the scene in the movie. And the guy comes in and he goes, "Oh, my God, it's Susan Lanier from The Hills Have Eyes. We studied you in film school." So that was pretty exciting when they asked me to play myself as a person that survived The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
So if people want to keep up with you and find out about the movie, how can they get in touch? Are you on Facebook and IMDb and all of that?
Yes.
And how do you spell your name?
Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
I changed my name from Susan Lanier to Suze Lanier Bramlett after my husband passed. And it's S-U, I always did music as Suze. It's S-U-Z-E. LanierBramlett. Suze Lanier Bramlett on Facebook and Twitter and IMDb. If you go on the IMDb, you can definitely see some of the old shots from some of the old TV shows I did.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know I'm not a big horror fan because I have nightmares when I see horror movies.
Just remember, it's the music. It's the music that's making it scary.
I know. And we did a horror movie together, Betrothed. I don't know when that's coming out. But
oh, I can't wait.
We get to scare people together.
We do. We do. I can't wait for that to come out so we can party some more.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Sue.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you soon.
Thank you for your time. And we hope to see you again soon. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, Aretha, that was interesting, and I actually saw that movie, but I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I have not seen it. I'm scared of horror movies.
No. No,
but
that's a spooky
Jim,
one.
Jim, we're going to go ahead with your Jim's.
Well, go ahead and do your topic first, because we have a caller coming in, and I'm going to let him take a little bit of my time. So go ahead. I want to hear your tech report.
Okay, well, my tech report, I was out last night again, and I've got friends with new iPhone 6s, and they're saying, these 6s do not work. They do work.
Smartphone, cell phone, PC, Mac, tablet, iPad. That's right. It's tech time.
These
tech
phones
time.
Absolutely do work. They just don't give you enough instruction when you buy them. So, I think I've talked about this before, but I'm going to bring it up again. You have to close your apps on your iPhones. It doesn't matter which model you have, but especially the 5s and 6s, people have not learned that they have to close their apps. So what you have to do is at the bottom of your iPhone, there's that big button. You double-click that. And you'll see everything will get smaller on your phone. If you scroll, you will see all, just going to the side, you'll see all the apps that are still open. Take your thumb and just flick them up, and that'll close all of those apps. If you haven't closed them in months or days or weeks, you're going to see 10, 12, 20, 25 apps open on your phone. That's why it freezes, because those apps aren't closed. And then the other things that are open is in Safari. Go to your Safari app, and you will see in the right-hand lower corner something that looks like two windows. Just touch your thumb there, and that will open up, and you'll see all of the Safari windows that are open. There's a little X on the upper left-hand corner of the Safari apps, or the Safari windows, and you just click those X's just like you would on your computer to close windows, and it will close all of those Safari apps that you have open. You do those two things every couple of days or so, and your phone will stop freezing. And if for some reason your phone does freeze, you push that big button on the bottom and the on and off switch at the top at the same time, and that will shut your phone down so that you can operate it again and it'll restart. On the 6, that button isn't on the top anymore, it's on the side. So you push that big button at the bottom and the button on the side, it'll close down and start back up again, and you're all set to go. So, again, I'm defending the iPhone. Okay, Jim, what do you have going on this
morning? Easyway Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zulli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Okay, baby boomers, it's time for Jim. From Jim. Jim? Well, my goodness. Have we lost you, Jim?
Okay, I'm here, and you know what? We have Jim's Jim, but I think we have a surprise guest calling in. Ryan Torres, Ryan, are you on the line?
Yes. Hello.
Ryan. Okay, Avenue Entertainment Management. Cool. Thanks for calling in, Ryan. I was kind of hoping we'd get you today. We had an interesting guest on. I don't know if you're familiar with The Hills Have Eyes. And she was in the movie Hills Have Eyes. And we have Retha on. You know Retha?
Yes. Hey, hello, Retha. How you doing?
Good.
Well, thanks for calling in, Ryan. Sorry at the...
No problem. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Saw you at the event last night, and it wasn't that interesting. The show they put on with the Nicholas Brothers, it was an amazing show. But that's a business you're in. You merge talents. You've been doing this for 7 years with Avenue Entertainment Management. Producer, you have the interims with the media and connections. It's got to be a complicated business today, a little different than it was even 5 years ago, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because, the technology today probably helps you out. But, these movies today, they take a lot of funding. Is it harder for these movies to create this funding today than you think it was in the past? Because I know that's part of your expertise. You know, you get the funders and so on.
Well, it is. It really is because, you have to attract an investor. You know, you have corporate... style like corporate, banks and but the studios use, but then you have private equity investors that will actually, they'll finance the independent films. And it's more the independent world that a lot of these producers are kind of tackling, and they're trying to put big movies out on an independent budget, which is pretty tough. It's different these days. It's different.
So it is, it's basically they're rolling the dice. It's kind of a gamble. Retha and I were talking about how, a lot of actors, people think they make all this money, and it's not really like that. It's difficult. So you find your investors, but again, Ryan, a lot of these movies that are put together aren't necessarily finished. So, they may invest their money, whether it's, 500,000 or 1 million or 2 million,
mm-hmm.
but it's like sometimes they build a casino and the investors run out of money before the casino is finished, and the bank has to take it and somebody else has to come along. So would it be related with some of these, you've probably seen some of these movies, they start, they invest in it, but they don't finish the product, so they basically lose their initial investment, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of movies that are kind of made like they're in the can, or even projects that run out of funding, and maybe using a third-party investor, and, you know, the investor, you know, puts up the money, and then they end up running out. Of course, they should have some type of completion bond with the film, some type of insurance, but then, you know, the movie doesn't get made, and, you know, it just sits there pretty much. It collects dust. But
stuff.
You have movies, yeah. Well, you have movies that are made, and then they go to the festivals, and they kind of do a festival circuit. But that's where it goes. You know, there's no P&A money behind it. There's no distribution. So the number one thing a movie sell is by distribution. And if you don't have distribution, you might as well, you know, you could do an online thing. Anybody will take online. You know, a digital distribution deal. There's tons of companies out there that are offering that. But,
yeah. But it is a gamble. And I know Reith is wondering what to do with her millions as far as investing in movies and that.
No, but, I don't invest in movies. But, Jim, you know what? I'm going to have to go. So you two
Oh, that's right. You got an appointment. Okay, that's right. You got
to. Oh, Reitha, do you have to go?
I have Reitha's, to go.
Reitha's booked. She does
Reitha's
her show.
Reitha's got an audition or a booking.
She's always running. Or a cruise. Well, thank you, Reitha.
Okay.
Thanks, Reitha.
Thanks for hanging in there with us. Reitha was, she came back from a cruise, and she's always traveling around.
Oh.
And she's a good example of the baby boomers as far as keeping busy, you know?
Yeah,
and,
that's good.
So getting back to what, so, you know, you have all these movies. So do you think it's more difficult today to put together a movie from beginning to hopefully finish and getting it out there than it was from the research you've done even before your time back in the maybe 70s or whatever, with all the red tape involved?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the dollar, really, and... You know, and people are more concerned, especially investors and producers, with the return. You know, when you put a film out, you know, what kind of actors in that film? It really boils down to who's in that. I mean, I've worked on films where they have, you know, huge TV actors, but it's really not enough to even get distribution. So it's really about the box office. It's about the kind of numbers. It's hard to put a film together because, you know, from the beginning you have the script, and then, you know, you may have like, oh, we'll have so-and-so read the script, you know, through an agent or a manager, or even if you're friends with them, they could read the script. But then again, it's all about money because it's like, you know, I have all these other offers coming in, or the actor has other offers coming in where he can pick and choose like what film he wants to do. And who has the money? Who doesn't have the money?
Yeah. So when you see these big figures, the average public, Bob Jones, superstar, is making $10 million in this film. Now, what do you think they actually get out of that? I mean, they have taxes to pay, but it's cut up with all their people they work with, their agents and that. So what do you think they might net half of that?
Well, $10 million, agents take 10% off the top, so they would get 10%.
So they're
going
down
give
to 9. Yeah.
9 million. And then, of course, you know, if they want to pay like their manager, if the manager's involved in the deal. But no, I mean, you know, it's a monopoly because the bigger actors are making the bigger money. I mean, and it's proven by the box office receipts. I mean, you know, you have Tom Cruise, you have Brad Pitt, you have Denzel Washington. Now, Denzel Washington is a good example because he can sell overseas. And a lot of these producers and investors are looking for the star names. You know, if I bring you a film with Denzel, if I bring an investor a film with Denzel Washington attached, which guess what? He won't be attached without any money because his agent will not issue any letter of intent for him to be attached to a movie unless there's money in the bank.
Yeah.
But
money's going to be there.
If I said, I'm in talks with Denzel Washington's agent or his people,
he wants to do the role, read the script, and just alone there, I could possibly get attract an investor to put up $50 million for the whole film.
Wow. Yeah, and then hope it's a success, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's proven. I mean, you got these, you know, A-list stars that are always, you know, doing well in film, so.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Not,
and, you know, a lot
so
of this stuff,
of
a lot
gamble,
of these.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Ryan, I heard a lot of the big actors, they make money in overseas, you know. They pack up and move to Europe or something, and they do well over there. But so anyway, how can we get a hold of you, Ryan, if somebody wants to work with you with your Avenue Entertainment Management and so on and all your expertise in the business?
I'm on, you know, all the social media, you know, Facebook, which is AEM, and then my name, Ryan Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S. And, you know, my email, I can, you know, leave my email if anybody has any projects. I'm always looking for projects. Especially that have
sure.
money in the project and talent. Because, you know, my job as an intermediary or as an EP, executive producer, is to bring the money. But I have to track those people that, you know, that have the money and they say, oh, okay, this is good. I like, you know, this project. I want to put my money in. So that's my job as an intermediary. So, but I'm always looking for projects, you know, always.
And what's your email again?
My email would be Ryan, R-Y-A-N. AEM@gmail.com.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for your expertise. It's a very, it has to
no
be
problem.
A very, well, what would you say, challenging position you're in. if
it is
else,
challenging,
but,
yes, it is, it is.
Exactly. But we're going to let you go. It's time to wrap up the show. Ryan, thanks for
Alrighty.
Taking your time. I know you're really busy, and we'll catch you again.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Hope you have you back on the show.
Wonderful
okay, guys.
Show.
Thank you much. It's time to wrap up. Don't forget to download the Eric Zulli app and tune in to Easy Talk Live Thursdays at 10:30. Eric's got so many interesting guests on theeasyshow.com/podcast. And again, don't forget the Ascent Going Up Expo at the LA Convention Center, February 28th, 29th, and March 1st. Celebrities, red carpets, hundreds of exhibits. I mean, it's a must-go-to expo. Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks, will be hosting a series of contests and opportunities. And remember, guys, you can enter into retirement and become complacent and stagnant with a uneventful and gloomy and unhealthy retirement, or you can get out of that old chair, keep in shape, meet new friends, get hobbies, volunteer, and keep busy and active. What the heck? And with that, we're going to say we'll see you next week from Wraith and I.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric Easy Zulli and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
Finally, something to look forward to on Monday morning. I'm Aretha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and I've teamed up with Easy's dad, Jim Zulli, to rock your world on Baby Boomers Live. That's right, every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we will be discussing all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. So, tune in to EasyWayBroadcasting.com on BlogTalkRadio.com to see what Jim and I are up to. Your Mondays will never be the same.
Thank you for listening to Baby Boomers Live with your hosts, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep up with us at babyboomerslive.info. Baby Boomers Live, brought to you by EasyWayBroadcasting.com on Blog Talk Radio.